Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Available on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
Welcome, you're tuned in to the best in paranormal talk radio. I'm Dave Schrader, that's Tim Dennis, this is Beyond the Darkness. Today's episode is brought to you by Carnival Row. It's only on Amazon Prime Video. And folks, if you're looking for a fantastic TV series to binge watch, something that's going to fit all of your likes from our type of programming, then you've got to check out Carnival Row. We've heard from many of you who tried it and you loved it. So join the millions that are enjoying this fantastic program. Carnival Row is a one-hour fantasy drama series starring Orlando Bloom and Cara Delevingne. The series is set in Victorian fantasy worlds filled with mythological monsters and creatures, exotic homelands, and of course, the evil that man does. And these creatures are coexisting, trying to at least, with humans, but they're forbidden to live, love, or even fly with freedom. It's a fantastic series. It's available only on Amazon Prime Video. Again, if you want a great series, well-written, beautifully acted, and amazing cinematography and special effects, look no further. You can thank me later. Email me, dave@darknessradio.com. Tell me how much you love it, or hit me up on my social media pages. We love getting the feedback. Go check it out. It's available now to watch Carnival Row only on Amazon Prime Video. All right, Tim. I love when we get a chance to hear from listeners and hear from people around the world with their experiences. And that's what brings us to our guest today. Victoria Bragg reached out to me through social media and had an experience and began telling me that, but then began to unfold the She's had a lifetime of experiences, strange happenings, very bizarre things that have taken place. And I don't want to give any of it away, spoilers in the opening here, so let's just get to it. Victoria Bragg, our guest today. Victoria, thank you for being here.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you having me.
Now, let's let people know a little bit of your background. You are a psychic medium?
Correct.
How long have you had your abilities?
Well, I was hit by lightning, as well as my grandmother, at the exact same time. I feel sure that what happened was is we were... The lightning actually went between our legs, and we had on those old rubber flip-flops. We're talking about the 60s now, okay? And I was 7 years old, and at the time, she and I were facing each other in the kitchen, trying to pass each other in a tight kitchen. And whack, before we knew it, we were on the ground, both of us, and our flip-flops were facing each other like they had never moved. And it actually is what I think saved us, because within a second later, our electric went off because it went down to the fuse box in the basement. My dad actually saw it happen, and he is a preacher. So
wait a minute. Lightning struck inside your house?
It came in the door, yeah. He was in the living room. He saw it come in, heard us fall, and then the electric went out.
Hold on a second now. So it's not like you and Grandma are out for a leisurely stroll and the bad weather rolls in and suddenly
no,
a lightning...
No, it was in the kitchen of our house, correct, yeah.
How? What did you do to piss God off to the fact that he opened your door and threw a lightning bolt at you? Victoria.
Well, I don't know. Maybe I wasn't living right, but I was only seven. But after that, I started seeing things in my room, and I thought they were angels, but they were actually dead people.
How soon after this? First of all, well, let's go back. I don't want to just move away from this lightning bolt. You both get knocked on your butts. Did you have any other physical maladies? And did the lightning strike do any physical internal damage to the house besides knock out the power?
Nope, it didn't do anything but knock out the power, and it was down at the bottom of the steps, the fuse box. Both of us felt numb in our legs for about a week, and other than that, nothing. I do know there's another woman in England. The same thing happened to her, and her flip-flops saved her too.
Well, thank God for 60s flip-flops. That's all I can say. So you get struck by lightning at the age of 7. How soon after that do you believe that you had this awakening?
It was very shortly after. I would say at least within that next month or so, I started seeing things in my room that my sister never could see.
Now, by things that you would see, give us a description.
Individuals that were not human, you know, just like ghosts, you know, like basically I was being visited by people that had passed. Like grandmothers and things like that were visiting me.
Okay. Now, well, you said that they weren't human. So you mean they just weren't physical manifestations?
They weren't physical, right.
Okay. And when they would come to you, could you hear them or were you just seeing them?
No, they talked to me through my head, through my brain, you know, just sort of listening to them.
So it was telepathy.
Telepathy, correct, yeah.
And what were they telling you, Victoria?
Just trying to tell me they missed me, especially if they were family members. Sometimes I didn't know them at all, and I actually just called them my angels, and I just felt extra protected because they were around me so often. I mean, it's hard for a 7-year-old to kind of figure it all out. Your dad's a preacher, so.
Right. Did your grandmother develop any abilities after, you know, she was hit with lightning?
You know what I think possibly happened? She was always psychic to a certain degree, and she always kind of stifled it. And I think that, in a way, maybe the lightning carried a lot of her abilities into me, and I think that could have been what happened.
How did your family reconcile these kind of abilities, you know, with your father being a preacher and you being, psychic and mediumistic and your grandmother being this way? Was it something you just accepted or considered to be a gift?
No, at that point, nobody really talked about those type of things, including my grandmother, who had abilities anyway. They say sometimes it skips a generation. Well, I think God gave us a helping hand and he just sort of made it happen faster. You know, but no, we never really acknowledged all that at that point. We're talking, you know, early 60s, actually. So for years, I basically stifled my visions, my dreams, being able to understand people, see things before they happened, accidents or negative as well as good. And I've always had those abilities, especially with animals, too. So I'm very, very active in animal rescue as a result of that. But no, at that point, we never really discussed anything like that. That was faux pas. You know, that was the devil bothering you, you know. And that's the way they looked at it. So I stifled it.
Did you tell your family that you were seeing loved ones come to you, though?
Oh, yep, sure did. And they just, oh, that was a nice dream, honey. You've just got angels around you. And that's basically just how they passed it over.
But you knew better. You knew that was something. Okay.
Yeah, but you know, my dad was one of those smack first, ask questions later. So you didn't get him riled up on things like that. You know, spare the wife, spoil the child type situation.
Okay.
So I never really talked to him about it until I got older and realized just exactly what was happening. And just through time changes, you know, the time of, you know, mid-century, you know, people didn't talk about that stuff. Now it's all over the TV, you know. So as time went forward, I realized what I had. But I also couldn't quite understand how to direct it because at that point there wasn't, you know, internet, there wasn't books out about it hardly at all. And so I basically just ignored it. And I've had miracles happen ever since then that have kept me safe because I hear my own, what I call soul parents, which a lot of people call guides. They sort of are assigned to you every life. So you can imagine the love they have for you because they watch out for you in every life that you've had. I had dreams about past lives as well and became a hypnotist as a result of wanting to learn more about regression therapy for past life information. And it just sort of created itself. I wanted to see if I could be psychic on the phone when a lot of the media was really pointing a lot of people in that kind of a wave of, you know, it was just sort of like a fad. And so when I realized I could do it on the phone just as well, if not better, then I went ahead and started my own business doing it because I pray out loud. I feel like out loud prayer. I'm definitely a Christian. I do recognize other religions and have studied quite a few other ones. But I believe that God has given me these abilities because I get emails from people all the time thanking me for helping them save their marriage, for helping them get over the grief of losing a loved one because they managed to come in and tell me things that no one could ever really know unless you lived, you know, in the same house with them. So,
do you consider this a gift, or do you consider it a...
It's both.
A damnation in some sense.
Well, it is a gift, and I do pray for God. I'm just basically the mouth, okay? I pray, and then I'll get it. If I don't pray, I call that a dry read, where I don't get nearly the information than I do when I do pray. So that's the way I work, and I invite my clients to do the same thing. About 90% of them, at least, are Christian, you know, spiritually based anyway. So I just feel like God's using this mouth, and sometimes I say things that later the client remembered I said, but I didn't even remember that I said it, you know. So those kind of insights, knowing I can see auras, I can look at someone's body and tell if they've got certain health issues. I like doing it on the phone because then I can't read their body language.
So wait, you're a medical intuitive as well. Can you intuit the medical maladies that they're dealing with while speaking to them over the phone? Or is that something you need to see a person in person for?
That's a good question. I do ask for either videos or photos so that I can read their soul. Lots of times I'll see some of their own past lives because people have a tendency sometimes to even carry over phobias. Problems from past lives, and even old vendettas with souls that they have had a problem with in another life. I mean, have you ever met somebody and, what did I ever do to her? You know, that kind of stuff. You could have been horrible enemies, you know, a few lives ago. So my own dad and I did have a horrible relationship. But once I regressed to the lifetime I had with him before, then I realized and forgave him instantly. It was not even difficult. And the last 20 years of his life, we had an amazing relationship. So, and he did accept me, you know, finally, just through a lot of just information that I was giving him, because I did go to Bible college for 2 years. And so I did a lot of research and a lot of the Bible verses and stuff like that do point back to things like reincarnation and things like that. So I would always have these debates with him theologically, you know. But he kind of decided, yeah, she knows what she's talking about, because he thought, firsthand, finally, when he opened his mind. So it took a long time, but it did work. And then I just started working with animals. I can sometimes read animals to the point of being able to help people with their pets. I've got at least an 80% success rate in finding lost pets, and I do that pro bono. I've also worked with children that are very psychic, like crystal children or indigo children, that just really do not know how to be a kid with these abilities. So I try to work with them and help them just become a great kid and understand what they've got and how to use it in the most positive way at all. And that's pro bono too. But yes, I do have to pay the mortgage and that kind of thing, so I do charge, but I'm very open with the time I give. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've talked to somebody for 2 hours when they, you know, paid me an hour. But I feel like it's a gift, and I just go back and I say, listen, don't worry about it. We got your questions answered. You've got homework to do, you know, and these kind of things I've assigned for you to do, because I am a certified life coach as well. So because of that, I help them with their day-to-day, their spiritual growth. I've even helped some that are already psychic adults. I work with them on how to really listen to their abilities. It's like a muscle. If you don't use it, you lose it. And so the more I use it, the more in tune I get, the more specific. I've talked to a lot of, my husband calls our house the bus stop, because there are times I feel like Whoopi Goldberg in Ghost. I'm like, okay, guys, I got to get some sleep tonight, you know, go do something else. You know, I'll talk to you in the morning, or, you know, things like that will happen. It's actually pretty wonderful, because some negative things, being that I'm a Christian, I do feel that there is a bullseye on my back sometimes when it comes to negative entities. And the experience you had in the hospital really reminded me of this phenomenal experience that I had. And I was practicing my business and growing my business at the time that I had major surgery. It was elective surgery for a knee replacement. And
how long ago was this?
this was in the first really negative encounter I had was in 2010. And I was on absolutely no morphine or anything, Tylenol, that was it. I was on the upswing for getting better, actually, for my replacement surgery. And what had happened prior to that is for some reason I found under, you know, you got a low-lying couch. I found under my couch this brand-new, in-the-box Ouija board. And I'm like, wait a minute. Nobody comes in this house ever, hardly even family members. Nobody gave me this. I had no idea where it came from. I didn't touch it. I just took it out in the box, put it on the table, and told my husband to burn it. And I was getting ready to go to the hospital. So I had other things to take care of, animals and everything else. So I didn't think much about it, but that night I did see, like, a, I don't know if you go to the fair and you see those big bubbles that people blow, you know, and they put your body inside of it.
Right.
There's a round circle in my doorway of my bedroom. And I saw faces just smooshing, very smooshing, you know, coming in and out, in and out, in and out. Could not tell if they were good or bad. But it just looked like this big bubble of interesting faces of different entities or people or whatever. I didn't think much about it, but I kept reminding him to get rid of that thing, get it out of the house, you know, that kind of thing. Got in the hospital, and for some reason, I saw the very first night black, like black as black mounds zipping around my room, as well as the air conditioning kept getting yanked down to like 50 degrees. And I kept putting it back up, you know, and then I'd see them out of the corner of my eye. I also saw above my bed, when the lights, you know how in the hospital beds, the lights go down, lots of times you don't have them pointed to the ceiling, you know, very rarely anyway. And so I saw this outline in the drop ceiling tiles of my dad. And I knew it was him because he had his hand on his hip. It was just like a shadow, like he was just sitting there from about the waist up, just looking down on top of me. I was not scared of the black, you know, energy around me. I felt very protected. Then the next day, I was moved to another room because of my oxygen levels in my blood were dropping severely. I was pretty much considered critical because I went down to like 65% oxygen. I was turning blue. Nobody could understand what in the world was happening to me. The main doctor of the hospital took on my case, and I mean, the room was full of people all day long. And at one point, it dropped so low that I did pass out, and they were afraid I was going to be flatlining. I did leave my body, which I've done since then a couple of times, but that's just from dream, you know, dreaming out of body type experiences.
So
that's
you said you left your body. Does that mean that your physical body had given up? Was it dying?
Yeah, it was dying because of the, you know, I was turning blue. I was pretty much just suffocating because the oxygen in my blood was so low that it makes you have a horrible headache. You turn blue and you just pass out, you know, and that's what was happening. They could not figure out what in the world, what kind of toxin had gotten in me. Okay. They finally found a particular medication called Medline Blue that they gave me, and it did help me stabilize, but then it would go back down again. So through this process, they got me almost stable within a day or two. The night after it first happened, though, I was in my bed on forced oxygen, and that's horrible. Try to sleep with that going on. You're just like, forget it. I mean, there was no sleeping, that's for sure. But as it turns out, I saw this gray light smoke coming in the room, and it looked like it was morphing, like the wall was kind of swirling and that kind of thing like that. Within a matter of seconds, I saw very clearly about 100 different unique looking demon faces looking at me, getting up in my face and taunting me, you know, going blah, 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 you know, just ha, 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 you know, that kind of thing. So I got angry. I didn't get scared. I just got angry. I think that comes from being a tough lady over the years, and you know, some of the jobs I've had to be that way. So it didn't scare me or anything like that. But I got up in my bed, and I just banished them. And when I did, you know, and I was quoting scripture like crazy, and in the name of the Holy Spirit, and da-da-da, you know, I flung my fingers at them. Why? I don't know. I just did. And electricity came out. and they flailed back. Within those few seconds, I felt like I was transported back to another lifetime, which I had remembered, where I was like in almost medieval times, probably 1500s, around in there, and I was part of a pagan group, and we worshipped Mother God, you know, Mother Moon and all those kind of things, and we worshipped animals as well, and we were healers, actually. And I had had this exact same battle, and it was all dark around me. You know, like I was just morphed into that time frame for just a matter of seconds. Then I did it again because they were trying to come back at me again, and when I flung my fingers out the second time, it really gave it to them. At that time, I was feeling I had, like, white warriors on horses behind me. I just felt like I had a whole army behind me, and I just never felt so empowered and so strong in my life. I scared the nurses because I was yelling, but being that it was forced oxygen, they couldn't hear me that good. So as it turns out, they just kept watching me, and I kept saying, nope, don't even start with me. You have no idea who you're messing with. I have the power to get you out of here, and I'm exactly what I'm going to do. And I kept banishing them and praying, had my dad's Bible the entire night. And
how was the staff of the hospital reacting? I mean, did they think you were nuts?
No, because I had been in that hospital before for my previous knee surgery a couple of years before, and the majority of the nurses there knew what I did for a living. So it was almost like they had to put a sign on my door and say, leave the patient alone. She can't give you readings right now. Take her card, you know, that kind of thing, because there was usually a line out of my door because I was reading everybody in the staff, you know. They'd come in. I'm like, oh, sure, come on in, you know, that kind of stuff. And I was trying to build my business as well. So they knew what I did. And I said, you've got to get somebody in here and bless this room. You know, get you some holy water, whatever. We got to get this thing done. I didn't want to pass it along when I was leaving because I did finally stabilize. But before that even happened, the time that they did attack me, I kind of should have worked up to this before, my husband was burning the Ouija board outside with the dogs in the pit fire. And it was exactly that moment, 9:45, that he was burning it. Well, after the episode, I contacted the nurse and I told him, I said, you've got to call my husband, tell him to burn the darn board. They're trying to kill me. So as it turns out, he was burning it at that moment and the dogs were going crazy. They were just barking like at the sky. So they were just attacking me one more good time. You know, the door was open. That portal had been open because I just barely touched that darn box. And that's something that really worries me when kids play with these things. They don't know what kind of portals that they could actually be opening. All I did was touch it. And one of my dear friends at Psychic 2, she said, did you touch a Ouija board? And I'm like, yeah, but I didn't really touch it. It's just a box. I found it and told Kevin to burn it. She's like, you opened a portal. That's that bubble, you know. She said, you don't know what's good and bad coming in. At that point in my life, I believed in negative energy, but I had never really felt demons or seen demons, you know, that kind of thing. And I think that they just decided, you know, this person's doing good for people. People love her. She's helping them with their grief. She's helping animals. She's helping them with their marriages. She's helping them with all these good, positive things. So they were attacking me, just like they did, you know, 1500s when I was actually very strong. So at that point, I realized that this house has to be cleansed a lot of the time. It's just one of those things. Once you have a portal that opens, and I did manage to get it closed, but I had to go through about 4 or 5 different, more unique cleansing type of a ceremony, you know, and I also had a couple of friends come in and help me as well have different abilities than I do. So we all just really, it took about 5 good times to get that portal to finally close. And unfortunately, I still keep getting attacked, but not nearly at that amount. I mean, I'll get something in here like a groan, which looks like a gargoyle, a funny little nymph type thing like you see on some of the movies on, you know, they look like little gargoyles. And they just basically mess with electronics. They get you mad at each other, where your emotions are all over the place. And I've actually managed to get them out of the house. But it's a constant thing, you know. I mean, when you do good and they know you're doing good, they're going to try to run interference. And
so you feel that they're just in a constant state of attack because they want to break you down.
Right, and especially in the emotions area. You know, I mean, my husband and I are very bullheaded, but we never stay mad at each other. We've been married 35 years, and the thing that's so funny is we actually crack each other up when we get angry at each other. But then that will change sometimes, and that's when I also know. Not only do I see them, but I feel them. And the emotions they mess with, they're very sneaky and they're not so obvious, you know. And actually, one of the gentlemen that had passed very quickly, his family contacted me, and we got to talk to him. He told them things that he didn't get to finish, you know, and they were just thrilled. The grief was so much better. We had almost like a reunion party. Well, the groan I had in here, I couldn't get him out, and I was just going crazy. This thing was sitting next to my husband's bathroom door.
What are you calling it? A groan?
A groan or groan. It's like a groan. People call it, it's like a, I guess we'd call it like maybe a gnome, maybe, or something. It's not.
Okay.
It's just a troublemaker, you know. But
gotcha.
It looks like, what was that thing on the movie? He had pointed ears, and he was this little short, wrinkly thing.
It looks leprechaun?
A lot like that. It's like a leprechaun, but it looks, if you ever seen gargoyles, that's what they look like.
Okay.
Yeah. So this thing was very short, stayed in my house quite a few weeks. Couldn't get him out, kept banishing him out. He was scared of me, but he was causing us trouble. I mean, I would walk in the kitchen and my gas stove would be on. This is just me and my husband in this tiny little house, and our animals that never jump on the stove. So my husband's like, what are you doing? I said, I've been in the kitchen for 4 hours. He was turning the gas on. So when you get, you know, when you get that kind of a threat, you're like, okay, that's it. I'm done messing with you. So this gentleman actually came back and got him out of my house. And it was just, he was a real talkative gentleman that had passed. His name was Roger, and I'll never forget him. He said, oh, I got rid of him, because I was like, where did he go? You know, he's not here. Did it finally work, you know? And he's like, oh, I got rid of him. I'm like, oh, gee, thanks, you know?
Well, we'll talk more about that in a second. Let me remind listeners, Pluto TV is the leading free streaming television service. You can now watch over 100 TV channels, thousands of movies. And the best part is you can do it all on demand, all for free. You don't want to give your credit card up to a company you don't know? Don't worry. No credit card is needed. You don't really want to sign up for something else? You don't have to sign up. Pluto TV is easy, and it's a completely legal way to watch your favorite TV shows and hit movies. What are you waiting for? Never pay for TV again. Download Pluto TV for free on all of your favorite devices. Do it today on your phone, Roku, Amazon Fire TV, Apple TV, smart TVs, PlayStations. Hell, anywhere else that you can possibly stream. Get Pluto TV. Stop paying for TV and get 100 channels, thousands of movies, all on demand, all for free. 60 seconds. That's exactly how long this commercial lasts. You know what else you can do in about a minute? Get an offer for your car with TrueCar. That's right. In the amount of time it takes to floss your teeth, pet your dog, do a few sit-ups, or just listen to my voice, you can get a true cash offer. Best of all, you can do it from your smartphone or home. Just go to True Car. Simply enter your license plate number and watch how your car's details pop up. After a few questions, you'll get an accurate true cash offer from a local True Car certified dealer. It's just that easy. After that, you can bring your car in. They'll check it out with you together. You can ask questions and get the answers you need, so there's no surprises. Then simply leave with your check or trade in your car for a new ride. So when you're ready to experience a better way to sell or trade in your car, check out True Car today. We're back. This is Beyond the Darkness, and our guest, Victoria Bragg, has a very unique, very unusual story. So many different facets of this, and these little beings, these little like golems, these gargoyles that you started dealing with, have they been violent? I mean, have they ever caused wounds?
Oh, no. Mm-mm. No, they're sneaky. They do other things to get you negative feelings. They... when they know you have power, like this little guy that was here for a few weeks, I scared him, but he still wouldn't leave, okay? He was, like, hanging tough. But Roger got him out, I guess because Roger wanted to pay me back. So as it turns out, I haven't had as much difficulty, especially lately, after all that, because I think that was, like, the finale, you know? I still have to keep on guard, you know, as far as seeing things and feeling them. And I've also helped a lot of different entities cross over that were stuck. And that's one thing that I do want to make sure people understand. Whenever you reach out to someone and you know you've got an entity, a human entity in your house that needs to cross, don't pay somebody $500, $300, whatever, to come in and do it. The homeowner is the one that's the best person to do the cleansing practice. Yes, you can bring in your priest and some holy water and all that, but I've actually talked to people on the phone, and just the fact that I was telling them how to help a person that was stuck in their home to cross, and she was going to go get all this stuff, right, because the cleansing needed to be done. She called me back 5 minutes, this particular client. After we got off the phone, she said, "He's gone." I said, "Oh, well, that's great." He thought he was going to burn in hell because he wasn't the best person, and he was hanging in her basement. And just the fact that we were talking about him and me trying to say, listen, you've got to tell him it's not a horrible place. You're not going to go to heck. You're going to go over into this amazing place, you know, and talk him through it and all that. And sure enough, she didn't even have to do that. He heard us talking on the phone and just left. Just as she said, "I went to the basement. It's like there was a light on." She said it was unbelievable difference.
Victoria, let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll continue with your journey. I know that you've had a few near-death experiences, and as you said, you continue to be attacked while you're trying to help others. We'll talk more about your story. Stay tuned. We've got a lot more to discuss right here on Beyond the Darkness. Tim, did I steer you wrong when I told you to check out Carnival Row, that new one-hour fantasy drama series starring Orlando Bloom and Cara Delevingne?
Oh, no.
Right? I mean, this has every kind of element that our listeners love. You've got true crime, right? You've got the fantasy realm, fairies, mythological creatures, and more. And it is so beautifully done. I know I pound on this a lot, Tim, but cinematography is part of what captures me into a movie. If it's flat and there's no luster, you can't sell me on the story that you're trying to put up forth. And this series, Carnival Row, is so eloquent. It's beautifully shot, dramatically represented in so many different ways. The acting is outstanding with Orlando and Cara. It actually transforms you. It brings you into their world. You don't feel like you're just sitting on the couch at home watching a show. You feel like you're part of something big and on a grand scale. And you can't say that about many shows. This series itself is set in a Victorian fantasy world, and it's filled with all of these, we keep referring to them as mythological immigrant creatures, and they're immigrants because their exotic homelands have been invaded by the empires of man. So now they're learning to live a new life, struggling to coexist with us mangy humans, Tim. And they've got all these new laws in play, right? They're not allowed to be who they are, what they are, even flying and that freedom that they get with it. They're pinned down. They're not allowed to live or love as they want to. And Orlando Bloom, he's amazing in this role. He plays Ryecroft Philostrate, and he is a police inspector. He's been investigating this string of really gruesome murders, this serial killer that's threatening this uneasy peace that's right now handled in the row. And Cara Delevingne, her character is Vignette Stonemoss, and she's a fairy refugee. She's flown, you know, gotten out of her kind of war-torn homeland and has come to settle in the Burg. And now she has to contend not only with her past, but her future. And all of this rampant human prejudice that's against her kind. And she has secrets. Dark secrets that have followed her to the new land. But no matter how dark it gets, there's always hope in this series. And the human detective and the fairy, they rekindle this dangerous affair despite an increasing intolerant society building up around them. It's available now to watch. Carnival Row is available only on Amazon Prime Video. Treat yourself. If you have watched fantasy and science fiction shows and you've been looking to fill that void, looking for the next great series, we've got it for you. Trust me on this. You're going to love it. I love it. Tim loves it. All the listeners that have chimed in have told us how much they enjoy the show. Check it out for yourself. You're worth it. It's worth it. Check it out. Carnival Row, only on Amazon Prime Video. If you're looking for something on the cutting edge of audio entertainment, there's a new series called We're Alive, Gold Rush. It's an end-of-the-world comedy adventure to recover $1 billion in gold in the middle of the apocalypse. Crazy, right? That's just the start. This 10-part epic features familiar voices such as Christy Carlson Romano from Kim Possible and guest star Danny Trejo from Practically Everything Awesome, our very own Caitlin Bristow, and more. The oral spaghetti western takes listeners across the wastelands with high-speed chase scenes, battles against the infected, horrors, heroics, love triangles, and, of course, gold. Listen to the audio drama that started it all and be transported into the theater of the mind with We're Alive, Gold Rush from Wayland Productions and Podcast One. The first episode is available now on Apple Podcasts and PodcastOne.com.
Beyond the Darkness.
We're back. This is Beyond the Darkness. Victoria Bragg, our guest. Hearing your stories, you know, our good friend Chris Fleming has been on the show a few times talking about these imp-like characters that he comes across, and it seems to be something he thinks is even gaining in strength. Were these imp-like creatures things that you saw even in your youth, or is this something new that's revealing itself to you?
I never did. It seemed like once I saw the 100 different specific demons in the wall showing themselves and jumping in my face like they were, I think that's what started it. It's just the fact that once you have that portal, I think they still sneak in sometimes. And after that, it's been more intense. The troublemakers, they're not bad, but they can definitely cause a lot of stress, and then they feed on that because they know you're upset with each other, you know. And then they mess with your electronics or do something as crazy as turn on the gas stove when nobody's home, you know, things like that. So you've got to, I constantly go to the Catholic Church and get my holy water if I know that I've got to get busy as far as cleansing the property as well as cleansing the house. And I did.
Do you believe that these creatures are demonic in nature, or are they just earth creatures, you know, these eternals and ethereals that just have always existed here?
That's a really good question. I think that they are demon connected. That's just my own personal. I don't really have any kind of information to feed off of that. It's just my gut instinct when I see them. And then they're not strong like a real, you know, possession of a demon. You know what I'm saying? They're not strong. I'm sure there's different levels of demons, you know, just like there's different levels of angels, I mean, and things like that. So basically, I just look at them as doing mischievous things. You know, the Irish even talk about the leprechauns doing mischievous things and being demons themselves to a certain degree. I think it's somewhat like that. But as far as being human in nature, no. There's definitely no human about them. They're just an entity that decided from whatever direction they were told to give me grief because of the good that I do. I mean, when I have people tell me on a regular basis, I thank God for you, that makes you realize you are making a difference. And I just sit and cry half the time because I look at I call them my kids. I mean, the kids, the young kids I talk to on the phone and help them try to find their soul path and listen to their soul parents and be able to be guided and hear what they were actually charted for. We still have free will. So sometimes we get off of that path. And that's why a lot of people, they go, well, where's my soulmate? I'm like, well, the one you're with now, you knew before, and that's the only reason you recognized him is because you recognized his soul, but you're not supposed to be together this time. So people get off track that way because of their free will. I try to help my clients with meditation, but also since I'm a licensed hypnotist, it evolved into self-help, like a certified life coach and that kind of thing. So I help them in the day-to-day and to program their subconscious in a way where they start manifesting things in their life on a daily basis. And it doesn't take much, but just audible self-help CDs like The Secret or whatever, and eventually the conscious steps aside because that's the saboteur saying, oh, it's too good to be true. You can't do that, blah, 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 you know. Oh, yeah, I get that. I get it. So then you just lay the book down and you never actually practice what you just read. doing it audible in the CD type way is how you program your subconscious. So I love being a licensed hypnotist and a certified life coach to help people in just the day to day, not just their spiritual. But, you know, I kind of jump all over the place during a reading. It's wherever I get led as to what they ask me. It always comes back, and I think that's why I've got clients all over the world, actually, being on the phone has allowed me that. We're very recluse, and since we do animal rescue, the animals get upset, the strangers that come here, and we're up in the North Georgia Mountains, so kind of tough to get to our place. It's not the easiest roads in the world. So we are very recluse up here. I call my husband Jeremiah Johnson because he could care less about other people. He just wants his animals and his wife and his little dinky cute house, and that's it. You know?
How does he deal with the constant barrage of supernatural interference?
Oh, very good question. He believes it. After years and years of predictions that when we first got married, I would know instinctively, and including 9/11, I dreamed the night before. This was before I started my business. I was working actually at a cemetery, running the perpetual care cemetery. Got up, I said, turn on the TV. I said, New York just had an earthquake, because I had dreamed I was on the ground, white dust flying, and people screaming. And then I woke up. And there wasn't anything on the TV then. Well, I was driving into work and down to the cemetery office, and I heard it on the radio. And then I saw it, and I was like, I actually did have a time where I swear I think I managed to keep a plane from going down. I used to be a flight attendant. There's pretty much nothing I used to not be. I was a flight attendant, a big-time DJ in the 70s, you name it. And I even worked for the mob a long time ago. Thank God I was kept ignorant in that department. But as it turns out, as I was going down there, then I saw that. And so now he listens when I say, hey.
Well, wait, you just kind of powered over that you worked for the mob. How did that happen?
I was living in the Bahamas as a dive master. I was a crazy dive person, and so I was doing that, and I met this gentleman that needed a cook, and I was an amazing cook because I did do some culinary training. And so he hired me to work on his boat with a couple of people to take out down the Exumas, which is the out islands, which if anybody didn't know about the Exumas, you got to go there. Thank God they didn't get hit, because I saw my neighbors get hit, that I was used to going to Marsh Harbor and Freeport like every weekend. But as it turns out, I was free soul, you name it. I get on a plane, I go anywhere. They had actually a plane charter business, and I worked for them. My boss actually at one time was a big connection to Meyer Lansky. This was in the early 80s. We're talking Miami Vice type things, you know, where nobody's really got a job, but they all drive Aston Martins, you know, stuff like that. But as it turned out, they kept me in charge of the legitimate stuff. So thank goodness, even when they were closed down by the FBI, the FBI hardly even question me, you know, because they knew. They had everything tapped, including my own personal phone. They knew I didn't know what was going on. So I didn't directly work for them. I just took care of the legitimate business. And I was just a stupid young girl that got paid good, you know, and I'd get to take my weekends over in Freeport, hop one of the private planes that we had, those little, you know, one-engine planes, and okay, take me to Freeport. I want to do some gambling, you know. I was a crazy party woman. I mean, you have to understand, I was a DJ in the 70s, so you can imagine, you know. So that's basically where that went. I've had about 5 lives, I think, in this one particular life. Because I've done everything from 911 to being a flight attendant to, like I said, working for them. When you're
doing all these jobs, I mean, where you're so personable, you're around these people, and you have this innate ability, do you see spirits around people all the time?
Yes, I do, but not all the time. Like, I might be talking to somebody, and then all of a sudden I see her dead husband on his shoulder. And I'm like, your husband's right there on your left shoulder. Can you feel him? It's warm. And she'll go, oh, yeah, it is warm, you know, or something. Now, that could be, you know, slighted as suggestive, okay? So I'm one of those people, like, normally when I see things, I try to troubleshoot it, just to be more specific and really know that I'm seeing what I'm saying. Through the years, though, I've gotten to where I just automatically know. When I first started with this, I kept trying to squash it. I mean, 2 years in Bible college and I'm seeing things? I mean, come on, you know? That's not going to go over too well. You know, the biggest thing that I found out is so many things about the scriptures that I think that's helped also with people that are Christians that know that certain things in the Bible to me, I call myself a prophet, that God gave me these abilities to help people that need me. I'm a Pisces. I'm a nurturer. It just comes so easy to me. And as a result of that, I think that people are more open to it now because of the media. But I also think that a lot of people have psychic abilities, and we're just so scared of it. And that's why I always encourage my clients. As far as I'm concerned, everybody's got a certain amount of psychic abilities. And that's why I always try to get them to fine-tune it. I've actually had them say, you know what, I feel more psychic just talking to you, and now I'm starting to understand things in my own life that I couldn't get a clear answer on. So even if it's a little nudge in the right direction for me, at least I feel like I've made a difference. That's the only thing that really matters to me. And yes, I think I've had a lot of these experiences just to help the kids that I talk to, because they call me Mama V, because I'm a 63-year-old crazy broad, you know? I mean, it's just like I was a model. I mean, you name it, you know? I married a Tom Selleck lookalike. You know, I didn't mean to. We just, you know, kind of hit it off and became buddies. And as it turns out, we've been married for all these years, and he puts up with it. He believes it. And as he keeps seeing things come true that I predict, he definitely believes it.
Well, do you feel that are most people under some kind of spiritual attack? Are there these little imps, these creatures and demons you believe that are constantly influencing us, or do they only pick and choose people that they go after?
That's a good question. I think it's a matter of perception too, because I think that things like, you know, when you talk about priests, preachers, things like that, yes, I think they do have a bigger target on their back, because if they're truly heart-giving, loving people that want to make a difference, I do think because of just their soul, their definite heart is there so strong to do the right thing always, no matter what. When it's in their soul makeup, I think that it does put a bit of a target on their back. We might not recognize it, you know, when people say about their trials, you know, like, my mom just died, and then I had this horrible car wreck, and then this happened, and then it's like a domino effect. I think a lot of that is, I don't worship a God that tests me. Let's just put it that way. People say, oh, God's just testing you. I'm like, uh-uh. My God doesn't do that. I don't know what your God does, but I don't worship a God that tests me. And things like, have you ever seen the movie What Dreams May Come?
Right, with Robin Williams.
I don't worship a God that puts a woman that kills herself in hell. You know, I mean, I just don't. Because of the fact that she, first of all, I know they don't go there because I've talked to people that have killed themselves. And lots of times it had things to do with drugs or bipolar, mental disorders, things like that. And then when they come in, they're so clear. And they validate. I always ask them, give me something. Oh, well, I'm here with my dog, Bruno. Guess what? That was the family's dog for 15 years. I always ask for validation. This way, the client absolutely feels this is that person. They know 100%, or maybe tells them where something was lost. You know, oh, I wanted you to have that necklace, you know, things like that. When they get that closure, there's no kind of amazing feeling in the world better than that. Oh, I'm getting Kringles right now. Now, when I call Kringles, it's the doorbell to the afterlife, okay? When I call it cringling, it's tingling and cringing on my scalp. A lot of times when I'll be talking to somebody and they don't even want to talk to grandma. If grandma wants to talk to them, I get a cringle, you know, and it goes all the way down my body. And I'm like, oops, somebody's here. Let me see them. They always manage to be in the exact same place. They always manage to come around their loved one anytime between 3 and 4 at night and wake them up. And every single person I have asked, hey, do you wake up at 3:13, 3:33, 3 o'clock, whatever? Yeah. I'm like, and you saw somebody's in the room with you, right? And they're like, yeah. I'm like, well, that's her. That's Grandma B, you know, whatever her name was. Things like that. And they visually, it comes to me in like a movie. My third eye is actually over my right eye. So that's where I get it. That's where I get the information. When God or whoever is guiding me doesn't want me to see something, I get a blue curtain stage type flash. And I'm like, oh, there's the blue curtain. I can't tell you that. Yeah, we'll have to worry about that later. You know, because I'm not going to guess, and I'm not going to tell a person what they want to hear. I don't believe in that. If he's cheating, by God, I'm going to tell you he's cheating. Now, he may not think he's cheating, but I'm seeing him cheat in your book, you know, things like that. I hate it when I'm right on that, and I'll get those validations. Hey, guess what? You were right. I'm like, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to. I'm so sorry. Well, it's a good thing. We got to turn it around, you know, that kind of stuff. So I'm always jumping around in areas. Like you can tell, I'm really jumpy all around everywhere. That's just me coming through, and the information comes so fast sometimes I feel like if I don't get it out fast enough, I'm going to lose the details. So I really just keep running off my mouth. I even tell my clients, just butt in on me. I can hit the pause button, you know.
Well, talk to us about now, how many near-death experiences have you personally had?
That one in 2010. And then in 2016, my kidneys and liver failed out of the blue. I was diagnosed with Hep C because I had a blood transfusion in the early 80s. I was not a drug user. And as a result of that, my kidneys and liver started to fail. The doctor pretty much told my husband, she'll be lucky to be here tomorrow. And at night, that night, I did come out of my body. And when I did, it was the most amazing thing. It was so 3D. You know, that movie I was telling about, What Dreams May Come, it's very close to that. I mean, they've got that tree, the blue-purple tree. They got the golden field. They got all that stuff. And even people that have passed tell me about what it looks like there when I'm talking to them. So I guess I just sort of did a little visit there, and then my dad came in one more time because both times he came in, and the vet I used to work for that was like a dad, he was there. My animals, grandparents, things like that were there. I'm like, well, I guess you're my ride. He's like, You got too many people to help and too many animals to save. It's not your time. I'm like, oh, what am I, a fish? You know? I'm like, I know how great it is over there. So it's sort of like, I'm like,
Is that hard? Is that hard to deal with, to know what it's like and have to come back? I mean, I know you love your husband and you love your animals,
The
allure of the other side, how strong is that?
It's very strong, because when you are a nurturer and you do the kind of business where people drain you, it's just, you have to practice blocking that. And there's a very fine tightrope that you have to go, you know, just to be able to block that. I mean, there's days that I'm just walking into walls. I've worked on some murder cases. And my golly, I mean, it's just like, I'm walking into walls for like 3 days talking to this girl that's missing up in the North Georgia Mountains, and this guy strangled her. You know, so it definitely has an appeal because you know how wonderful it is, you know, and
I'm sorry, you do jump around a lot. I'm not quite sure how you working with the criminal has to do with your near death experience.
You get to see from them what it's like there. They send me visual, and that's part of the connection. They show me what it's like. Okay. So when you see that amazing feeling.
But you've actually been there twice now.
Yeah.
You've crossed over into that realm. When you're there, do you run into many of the spirits that you've helped cross over? Are they there, or have they been recycled already?
Some are and some aren't, and that's a very good question. When they do come in to me, either there or here, a lot of the time, my own grandmother did that. She came to me in a dream and said, I'm back, and she showed me herself as a baby. Now, I saw her every single time a loved one would pass or a pet would pass, and she'd greet them. She showed me herself as a baby, and I got it validated 2 weeks later that I saw the same baby. Okay, exact. So they show you in their own visual to my mind, but then I did get to see it for just a matter of seconds. Now, as far as meeting people that I've helped cross, no, I didn't see them. What I mainly saw was my own family and animals.
Are you, when you do that crossing and you're on the other side, even temporarily, do you get any part of your life reviewal? Do you see any aspects? Like, are you given a window into what you could make better?
I did get a window one time, the last time, where it was almost like a TV, and I got to see my husband and my loved ones here. But it was almost like in the future without me. And they were showing me that to say, you don't want this yet. And you could hear them. It was like these amazing souls there that are like the most highest teachers in the world that you could ever even imagine meeting, just like Jesus, you know. And you can hear them feel, you know, say to you in your head, you're not ready for this yet. Don't take the easy way out. We're sending you back because you still have a mission. And they're very...
Do you ever question them then, Victoria? If I'm not meant to be here, why do I keep finding myself in positions where my life is about to end?
I think that they are carryovers maybe from a past life, because I have had a recognition of a life where I had a lot of health issues, okay? I think I'm trying to teach myself through hypnosis how to self-heal. But I also think that they want me to see it so that I can explain to people and give them hope. And that when I do help somebody that's stuck or is scared to cross over, that I can actually say, listen, I know what it's like there. It's amazing. I have managed to do that quite a few times. And they're usually people who are just scared. I mean, they're just human souls that are just in a cycle of perpetual over and over again. You know, I think they show me that so that I can explain it to the people that I talk to every day and say, listen, Grandma, she's showing me this amazing kitchen and she's cooking cakes all day long, and, you know, whatever. They get to pick their paradise there. And they could be fishing all day. The next day they could be feeding their chickens because they love their chickens. I've literally had them show me crazy things like that. And they're just, that's their paradise. Then they actually go to what I call the spiritual university. And that's when you want to interact as a teacher from your own lives and also as a student. And you learn and interact with other human entities as well as the higher up principal, say like a college professor in the spiritual university. Then you're assigned from the beginning of your lives, you're a soul parent, and they aren't human entities. They're just entities that are like people call your guides. And they help you chart with God's help or whoever God you worship to come back in and chart. Well, do you need to learn this time? Because last time you didn't quite get it, you know. So you get to chart that. We still have that free will, though, and we can get off of that chart very easily. They're assigned to us to try to keep us on our track, to keep us spiritually elevated so we learn every single time more and more until we don't have to come back anymore if we don't want to. So it is a learning thing to go through that. I think they just use me because I got a big mouth and I just talk to people all the time. And they just figure, well, she's going to tell everybody about how wonderful it is here. So they're not worried and they're not going to try to stay around here. You know, that kind of thing. I think it's just a very complex situation that only when I get there full time will I ever probably be able to exactly answer.
Is this something now that you look forward to because you know what it's like on that side? Or, okay, and the comfort level of death is fine for you now because you've made those transitions?
Yes. And it's funny, too, because sometimes I'll just leave my body and go fly over Ireland. Why? I have no idea. Just to give you an example, when I was early on, I was like in my 20s. I met a 4.5-year-old kid that came to me. He was in a nursery at American Fitness, and I was an aerobics instructor, okay? So he comes running in. I'm taking care of the kids that day. He comes running in with his brand-new mom, and he runs over to me like he hadn't seen me in a million years, hugs my legs, never met this child in my life, says, oh, I'm so glad to see you. Where have you been? Oh, I missed you so much. And where have you been? In fact, the book that this story is, Ian, is by a dear friend of mine, Carol Bowman, that writes about children remembering past lives. Well, basically, long story short, he was remembering our lives together. And it changed my life where I really was able to accept reincarnation. At that time, I was wrestling with it in my own physical, you know, personal beliefs in the Bible and everything else. So when he did that for me, I know we weren't supposed to be together, but he was actually angry that I wasn't remembering. He recognized my soul, but I didn't recognize his. I was finally able to regress through that, through hypnosis, and see that life. But I really think that he was dropped into my life at that particular time to help my path get straightened out as to where I was supposed to be going. And as far as, you know, other people, I think heaven is a lot like what I see, but mm-hmm. I think that a lot of it is what kind of person you are. I think you get to pick your paradise. You get to go in and say, okay, I'm living in a gold house. You know, whatever's crazy. Or I drive around in a crazy, wonderful car. I mean, sometimes they show me paradise, that there's personal paradise. And it's, like I said, grandma's cooking in a huge kitchen and she's having a blast, you know, that kind of stuff. Then when you want to learn more and decide what you want to do the next step, then that's when you go to the university. I mean, who was the guy that was the lead singer on Motley Crue? I can't think of his name, but his daughter
Vince
died.
Vince Neil.
Yes. His daughter died at like 4 years old. She visited him for like a week after she passed because he was really a mess, okay? She got up one night and said, okay, well, I'm tired of playing, and I've got to go to school. He said, what do you mean go to school? She said, that's what I'm supposed to do now is go to school. And that right there validated all the different stories of these past people I've talked to, that there is a spiritual university that you go to prepare before you come back in.
Do you ever make connections with somebody on the other side, and when you try to share the information, the living want nothing to do with it? They don't want to hear about it. They don't want to know it. They don't want to experience it.
Well, especially in this Bible Belt. You betcha. You know, everybody around here is Bible beaters. That's what I call them. You know, I'm up in the North Georgia Mountains. So, yeah, I mean, a lot of the people I talk to that are local in the state of Georgia and around, a lot of times when you tell them, they get so scared. And I'm like, why are you so scared? I'm telling you how amazing this is, you know. And this person is willing to share with you that just because they had a horrible lesson to learn in being sick emotionally and mentally, or just being connected to drugs in whatever way, their clarity is there now. They're the real, true, sweet, wonderful soul that they were when they came in. You know, don't be afraid of that. Sometimes they dig their souls in and it's just, you know, their feet are just, forget it. I'm not going to happen. I think sometimes when people talk to psychics, they think you can see the deep, darkest secrets.
Right.
And that's what really flips them out sometimes. I think that's actually a bigger excuse than just not wanting to know about a loved one that's there. I think they all want to know. I mean, how many times have you heard someone go, I just want to know if he's fine, you know, and then when I prove it to them, they feel it. You know, people have an innate sense of knowing the truth. And when they feel like your soul is so open to them that they can ask you anything and you give them a true answer, they will trust you implicitly. You know, they're just like, as far as I'm concerned, you're the deal. You know, I mean, you have told me stuff nobody ever would have known. Not in a million years. No Facebook, no any of that.
Do you find, though, in dealing with this and being able to project and be out of body from time to time when it's not the near-death experiences, can you still traverse to the land of the dead, whether you want to call it heaven or hell? And have you ever tried to experience hell, or have you been given glimmers of what it's like from any of the spirits that you come upon?
Good question. No. I cannot control crossing back and forth like that. So the only times that I've done it is just because of the death and the health issues. As far as seeing the evil that is there, the closest thing I saw was the 100 demons in that wall that were sticking their faces in my face and antagonizing me. There was actually even a pig demon, which blew my mind. You know, I've heard of that. But, I mean, I rescue potbelly pigs all day long. You know, I mean, I've done this for 30 years. I've rescued potbelly pigs, fat gone bad. They've been dumped everywhere. So I do that. But seeing a pig demon, I just knew it was trying to get to me just because of that reason. It's like they know your horrible weaknesses. But no, I've never seen hell, thank God. Never really even want to get on the outskirts of that because of the fact that I would be, it'd be like walking into the enemy camp. You know, you're the commander in chief, and what, you're going to walk into the enemy camp and, you know, just because you want to see what it's like? No. I don't even want to even attempt to do that because I am such a target, you know. So unless I've got on body armor for my soul, spirit, and everything to protect, I don't need to test it, you know, and see if it's really there. I know it is. They send enough of their own little army to me to help me know that it's there, you know. I don't even want to think about it, basically.
All right. Well, I just, like I said, I didn't know if this
it's
was something
good question.
That...
It's a question. Oh, I love it. You're really amazing in your questions. I love them. I mean,
well, thank you.
It's like so challenging. I love it. You know, because when I talk to people, a lot of times it's the same types of things that I run into. But being able to be challenged emotionally and mentally like this is really amazing. You're really good at your job.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Do you ever come across spirits when you are connecting with them? I know you said sometimes you're given like that blue veil, the blue curtain, which lets you know that this is something that's not accessible to you at this point. Do you ever sit before one of your clients and the spirit refuses to answer a question?
Oh, yeah, because those times they just don't feel like you're ready to know. Absolutely. And that's when I get the blue curtain. It's like an old stage, you know, like an old Western stage or something, and it's this blue curtain goes flying across. And I'm like, nope, wait a minute. I said, I'm not guessing, because, I mean, I've literally had people say to me, no, you're wrong. That's completely wrong. I don't believe it, blah, blah, blah. 2 years later, I'll get an email. Guess what? I took notes, and you were right on every single darn thing, you know. And I sat there and argued with you about it. And I said, well, thank you for telling me. I thought I messed up, you know, and that kind of thing. So I'm not going to guess. They don't want me to see that, but it has happened. And then 2-3 weeks later, I might have an answer. See, that's the thing. I think it's all about the timing a lot, too, when you're able to handle whatever information is behind that curtain.
And through all of this, are you ever afraid that maybe you are being tricked? Maybe these messages are misleading and that the things you think are beauty and what's going to happen next – maybe they're not there at all. Does that ever cross your mind, or do you have the conviction of knowing? Because I would be afraid if I had your ability, I'd constantly be questioning what it is I'm experiencing.
Questioning yourself? Oh, my goodness, yeah, you do that, especially in the beginning. But like I said, it's a muscle. If you don't use it, you lose it. And I've gotten so much stronger. You know, I've gotten the exact same story from the different entities as far as what it looks like over there and that kind of thing, that it's to the point where I'm actually a little jealous of them sometimes, you know, because they get to enjoy it. But I'm like, hey, I know I'm coming up there, so, you know, it doesn't matter to me either way. It's just that it is scary. And that's another thing. It does drain you. Like I said, you know, just the draining part of an emotional day, you know, talking to people that are emotional energy to the point if they're screaming and crying or whatever, and they're talking to you and they're in grief and they're just an emotional mess. When you're a sponge and a beacon like I am, it just manages to get into your whole soul and your whole being. I'm still trying to learn how to turn that off. And I think if I do turn it off, then I'll really be a mess, because then I won't have the true heart of being able to really help people as much as I want. So it's just part of the price to pay, basically.
Have you been given visions and precognitive things that don't come true? And if so, what do you make of that?
I did have one that was particularly amazing. Like I said, I was a flight attendant, and I was engaged to a gentleman that worked for Delta for about 5 years. Anyway, as it turns out, I was in a dream. I saw 757 come down on the tarmac like nose first. I saw palm trees. And he was on my right shoulder, and he showed me a boarding pass, which had the flight numbers. And then I woke up after it crashed. At this point, I'd never been checked out on a 757, to be honest. I don't even know if I'd know one if I was looking at it. But something told me it's a 757, and then I got a flight number. When I did, it was bugging me so bad, because that was right after 9/11 or very close, and I was just like, oh, my goodness, I have got to find out what's going on. So I contacted my old bud. I hadn't talked to him in 100 years, my ex-fiance, and I said, listen, you know me and my dreams. I said, can you check this flight number and see where it's coming out of? He said, L.A. And I said, palm trees. Hello. I said, you were in my dream, and this is what I saw. Well, when I gave him the flight number, he about fell out of his chair. He said, that's the one coming out of L.A. It's the 757. There's no way you could have known that, you know. And I was like, okay, thank God, I finally got a flight number, you know, whatever. And I called him 3 days later, and I said, hey, whatever happened with that? Because he said, you know what I'll do is I'll just send a memo and have them pull the, you know, the log, you know, the mechanic log and see what needs to be done. Just have them look at it. And he said, well, all I can see on this is that they pulled that 757 and replaced it with another one. That exact flight coming out of L.A. So I was like, thank you. You finally gave me a flight number. Maybe I stopped an airplane from going down. I don't know. But
would you, I mean, if you were given that information up front, right? I mean, if you knew this, would you be frightened to contact airlines and let them know something like that for fear that, especially in this current day and age with terrorism at such a strange place, would you be afraid that they would wonder how you knew this information?
Oh, of course, yes, but I would still hang true. I still would not just worry more about me than I would about that. In other words, I'd take that chance. You know, that's just me. You know, I mean, I've lived a crazy wild life and enjoyed every minute of it, but I can tell you right now, it's one of those things that I could never live with myself knowing maybe something happened and I did have the information and I would never want to go through. That, to me, would be pure hell. If I've got the information, then I'm going to take the chance and God's just going to help me get through it. You know, and I you definitely have to be very, like, walking on eggshells. Believe me, being in the airline business, I know that. Thank God I got out before all this terrorism stuff started, you know. But I can tell you that much, I would not stop. I still wouldn't. If I had that kind of information.
I was going to ask, you said you weren't really a believer so much in demons until you started having experiences like this. What can you tell listeners that may be feeling that they're up against dark forces?
Go with their true soul connection. I mean, in other words, if your gut tells you something, go with it no matter how crazy it sounds. If you feel that there's something in your house and you actually think you're seeing it or feeling it and it's influencing your day-to-day life and your personality and your relationships and financially and whatever else, if you feel it, especially if you see black mounds running around the house, okay, because like so infinity black that you didn't think black could be that black, that's a definite giveaway. People have such psychic abilities, they can feel it, and they can feel that they've got it in the house. They just don't know what to do with it after that or how to get it out. And they've actually seen them. Most times, I even know when somebody's seen them. I was like, you just saw that out of the corner of your eye, didn't you? And they're like, yep, mm-hmm, I sure did, you know, and that kind of stuff. And they go, but I thought you'd think I was crazy. And I'm like, no, that's my job. Then this place is a bus stop. So, you know, it's just one of those things where, no, I would really just try to support them and just try to help them walk through getting this entity out of their house. But I would make them do it. I wouldn't do it because I want it to be stronger just because it's their house. It's their property. It's their haven. You know, it's their home. And so they've got to fight just like frontier people fought the Indians, unfortunately. But still, people will do whatever they can to keep their haven. And I would walk them through however long it took for them to get it out. If I had to go over there, I would, because I have gone to certain places like a restaurant here and there and that kind of thing. And I've had entities that were human entities that would not leave. Period. But then I've had human entities that did. Now, demonic entities, if they couldn't get them out, then I would go, and I would try to help them fight it. Did I not answer your question?
No, you did. I'm just trying to... No, I get it. I just am curious, by asking them to do this, is that because they have to take ownership of their demons, that they have to empower to fleck them out? They may just go until you leave and then come back. It's the intent and your desire to push them out that's going to be more effective and helpful in the long run?
I think that the fact that, you know, how some people get that adrenaline rush and, you know, push a car off of somebody or something like that. I think that when it's your own personal space, that you've got the conviction more than I ever could to get it out. And when that's your haven and you're fighting for it, you've got to get angry, because if you let them feed off of your you know, being scared and your fight and everything else, if you let them know that they're winning, they're going to get stronger. And so you have to be your own warrior. And if you're not, it's not going to be as strong as if I walk in the door. Yeah, I'm sure they know who I am and that kind of thing, but exactly, that could definitely come right back after I leave, you know? So I just feel like, personally, when it's your space, you have the conviction more than I ever could to do the right thing and get it out.
Well, I appreciate you coming forward with your story and wanting to share with us. And, you know, it's empowering to know that people have more ability than they give themselves credit for when trying to rid their lives of darkness. So it's good to know that that's gone on. And, you know, I mean, you're somebody who's dealt with a lot of issues that you keep a positive attitude. You know, I mean, you've died three times. You told me you've just recently been in a car accident. You've had a lot of tragedies surround your life, but instead of letting it beat you or best you, you just continue going forward and trying to help others. And that's a real testament to courage, strength, and empowerment. So thank you for doing the work that you do.
Oh, real good, quick question. Can you at least give people my website so that if they do want some help, they can contact you?
Yep, the website's right on today's program. All they have to do is look at the information about you and the program, and it is available. But if you want to mention the website real quickly, go ahead.
Yeah, it's psychicvictorialove.com. That's it.
There's all right. Yep, we've got the link up. That's it for this week, folks. We are out. Tim's got you next week. I am gone to France with two of my daughters and 25 of our listeners as we explore the phantoms of France.
Can I jump in?
You could try. You'll just have to ask.
Out of body, okay?
Yeah, try to get there and astral project. But that's it for this week, kids. I'll be back with you again after the 24th. Be kind, be loving, and just enjoy the time you have, folks. We'll see you again right here on Beyond the Darkness.